This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on March 9th, 2017. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning, everyone. This is the open session for Thursday, March 9th, 2017. And at the very outset, I have a very pleasurable item to take up, and that's to talk about Lynn McFarland, who has worked for us for a few years. This is Lynn's 40th year here. She's been her active Inspector General for 27 years. It's the longest service of any one person in the Inspector General responsibility of any time of any federal agency. So she's broken a record. And just that longevity itself here is really great. I mean, that's saying a lot. But Lynn, you know, you didn't want any fall to roll. I know that. But I did want to say a couple things about thank you for all the service you've given to us over this long, very long period of time. And in my experience, it's always been very easy to work with you. Your staff is always friendly, they're competent, they work hard, and it's been a very nice experience. I wanted to point out that when she first got here, we should remember the fact that that was our first Inspector General. So everything was brand new. Everything had to be thought about, how to figure out, how to set it up. And so that required, staffing the office with appropriate skill sets, ensuring the necessary policies and procedures were created and followed, creating an initial audit and work universe. Throughout this period, she's had to address a number of sensitive issues for the agency and to discharge her duties in the highest degree of professionalism and trust. As with all AGs, she has the dual reporting responsibility to Congress and the head of the agency, in this instance, to six presidentially appointed commissioners. So, in addition to that, she's become a kind of a leader in the Inspector General category in the agency, or in the government, and she has been the chair of the panel, which reviews recommendations for the position of Inspector General, which then get reviewed, reported, and recommended to the President or not, to the White House Office of Personnel. So she's got two children, Kyle and Ryan, and Ryan's wife, and almost about to be a grandmother. And now you've got time, plus with your dogs. So you'll have a new life ahead of you. But thank you very much for everything you've done. And we really, really do appreciate it. I do have a small, believe me, it's small, but it's, a very, serious little gift for you. And if anyone would like to make a comment, your experience or anything along that line to wish her, please feel free to do that.
Anybody have any special
comments? Don't feel like you have to.
From all of us in the office, we want to thank you for, one, hiring us,
and
two, for showing us what a good leader is. As we stated to you before, it's wonderful to go to work when you have a boss that supports you and that is open to having you train. And also in the IG community, I know people are not familiar with IG, Lynn is very respected, and the fact that we were under her tutelage says a lot. And I know throughout the IG community, this is a loss for them, and they appreciate your service. Thank you.
Well, if you know other comments, I know everybody feels the same way, and with respect to what's been said, and once again, Lynn, thanks very much. So we'll go on with regular business now, and thanks again. The first item on the agenda has been the Socialist Workers Party, and that will be postponed until the next session. So that goes off the agenda. And at this point, we'll take up the audit division issue. You proceed, Councilman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Before you is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Colorado Republican Committee. There are four findings. Finding one, misstatement of financial activity, had three parts. The first part was misstatement of financial activity for the audited reports. The second was misstatement of financial activity for the original reports filed. And the third was misstatement of financial activity, unreported bank account. The second finding was reporting of apparent independent expenditures. The third finding was record keeping for communications. The fourth finding was failure to itemize debts and obligations. As you recall, the Colorado Republican Committee requested an audit hearing pertaining to findings 1C and 4. CRC's attorney appeared before the commission on December 6, 2016. As stated in our ADRM, the commission provided CRC an opportunity to submit certain banking documentation for finding 1C. However, we have not received any documentation from CRC to date, and we are prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Any questions of anyone? Commissioner Peterson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning to the both of you. When we had this hearing back in December, it seemed as if the two major issues that the debt, the disputed debt, and the unreported bank account, after discussing with counsel for the audited committee and after the interactions and the questions that you had provided, it seemed at that point like we had a path forward, that information was going to be provided to the commission that was going to likely be able to kind of wrap up some of the loose ends. But following that time, it sounds like the trail went cold in terms of our communications with the audited committee. And perhaps you could just flesh out a little bit more the efforts that you've made to communicate with and what sort of responses you've had, so that we have a better idea of how that that line of communication went dead, but you know, in the intervening 3 months.
Correct. Yes, commissioners. We did send them two emails. The first email was immediately following the hearing, where we reiterated the information that we had discussed during the hearing, in particular the bank account documentation. And we did not receive a response. We sent that to the legal counsel at his email address. Then after the ADRM was decided that there would be this meeting on the ADRM, we sent another email to the treasurer and to the legal counsel, and I did not receive a response. I left a voicemail, and I also contacted the committee yesterday to verify that the legal counsel has not changed, and they did verify that, and they confirmed the email addresses that I was using, but I haven't received any response or contact.
Okay, so it's not just been that that they've said that we've provided you adequate documentation to bolster the claims that we've made. There just has been no communication, period.
Correct.
Okay. Which just struck me as a little bit odd. I mean, that a committee from Colorado would, request an audit hearing, appear in person at a hearing, and like I said, it looked like we had a pathway to resolve some of the matters or to get the documentation that we were seeking, and that since then we just have been able to receive no communication, notwithstanding your efforts to reach out to them. So that, I guess, puts us in a little bit of a tricky situation. Okay. Thank you for reciting that history for me.
Okay. Any other questions? Any further discussion? People want to take action?
Commissioner Goodman.
If I recall correctly, last time we looked at this, and if I read the report accurately, we infer that this convention account was created by someone within the party because the bank records were in the party's records?
The bank records were in the party's records, and also the bank account name was in the party's name.
What was the name? What was the name on this account?
It was called the Colorado State Republican Central Committee Republican National Convention Expense Account, and it was in the committee's records provided to us by their accountant.
Why aren't we crediting? Is that because of that? Is that the evidence we have for not crediting the explanation given by the party chairman?
The explanation by the party chairman is that this was not their bank account and that it was a separate entity created for a separate entity, but there was no evidence provided from the bank that indicated that this was not their bank account, that this was not Colorado Republican Committee's bank account. So that's why what we have asked for consistently throughout field work and during the hearing.
Okay.
This account was opened in January 2012, and the first deposit was in April 2012, but the employee identification number for the entity that the committee says this account belongs to wasn't received until June of 2012.
Okay. I take it they still have not amended their reports from 2012 forward?
They have amended their reports.
Oh, they have. I'm sorry, I misread the report.
They haven't amended to correct the cash on hand. The ending cash on hand at the end of the audit period. We just asked for them to make an adjustment to fix a difference between the ending cash on hand and the beginning cash on hand at the beginning of the next period. So that's the thing they have.
Let me explain my understanding of the report just so that you can untangle my misunderstanding.
Okay.
I read the report to say that they did amend their cash on hand numbers for their 2011 report, but that they did not do so for their 2012 report.
It's just at the end of 2012, they have a certain cash on hand, and at the first period in 2013, it won't be the same, their beginning cash on hand. So we asked for them to make an adjustment in the current period, this period, to reconcile that difference.
Okay, hold on. The current period is the 2016 period?
Correct. They okay. could just make
I guess I'm just a little confused. Where does the first incorrect number show up? January 2012 or January 2013?
When 2013.
Okay. So the 2012 reports are accurate.
They were amended.
Oh, they were amended.
They were amended. So they for the misstatement and finding 1A.
Okay, but they did not amend their 2013 report.
Correct.
Okay, so does that delta? What was the discrepancy? Was it $30,000-$40,000? Only $7,200 by the time they get to 2013.
Correct. The beginning cash on hand. It's only the cash. Ending cash on hand does not agree with the beginning cash on hand for 2013.
I see. Okay, that's after they amended the 2012 report.
Correct.
Okay. Does that $7,200 hiccup reside for all of their reports beginning January 2013 through today?
It carries through,
yes.
But since we're not auditing any of those other reports, we just ask them to figure out what the difference would be and make a reconciling adjustment on their most recent report, and that's in the recommendation of the audit.
Okay. If there's we would assume that the $7,200 hiccup has rippled through all their subsequent reports.
Correct.
unless they started reporting something accurately in subsequent years, and so there's a hiccup just in the 2013 or 14 period.
Correct, and we just asked them to explain that.
Okay, at least I understand the dimensions of that issue, and that's $7,200.
Correct, the difference.
Okay. Let me just ask, and some of this is just a reminder for me, the 77 mailers totaling $110,905, no.
No, the 77 mailer, the $110,000 is not the 77 mailers.
Can you speak to the microphone? I'm just getting old, and
I'm
my
sorry.
Hearing is as good as it used to be.
The 77 mailers, we do not have an amount. We cannot associate with any amount due to the next finding, which is the record-keeping issue, because we cannot associate invoice to the mailers. But we had those 77 mailers that had expressed advocacy. The 110 is separate. We did have invoices and mailers for those pieces, for those disbursements.
Okay, so you have invoices and the mail pieces for $110,905 worth of mail.
Correct.
And the only dispute on that number is whether it was exempt volunteer or whether it was an independent expenditure.
Correct.
Okay. I remember our discussion with the attorney when he came. And what has been their representation as to that thus far? I recall a colloquy with the counsel where we alerted him of the type of evidence that the commission had recognized in the past. An affidavit, for example, that would say, we provided you the volunteer sign-in sheets for 20 other direct mail pieces and programs. This was part of a series and started part of that same volunteer program. We just don't have the sign-in sheets. I remember that colloquy with him. What has been their representation with regard to the $110,000? Is it just that they just represented that it's part of the volunteer mail program with no affidavit or other evidence? What's the state of the evidence as to the $110,000 and the claim to be volunteer?
They have not provided any additional documentation to support that. And as far as they're concerned, they've provided everything they need to provide.
So we have a representation or an argument or an assertion, but no documentary evidence to support it?
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure that was the lay of the audit at this point. And tell me about the 77 mailers. Those are different than the 110,000.
Correct.
Okay, I misunderstood that.
Oh, correct.
And how much? And do we have any aggregate amount of money associated with the 77 mailers?
Not. We cannot associate that with them with invoices. This is where the next finding comes in with the almost $6 million.
That's part of the million. When we're in as part of that of issue.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you. I didn't understand that. Now, about the radio ads. You're saying that there was 100 and... Explain to me the difference. I didn't quite understand from the text. The difference between the $153,900 in radio ads versus the $32,164. I understood there to be $153,900 in radio ads that you considered to be express advocacy, that you would treat as an independent expenditure that required an independent expenditure report.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And that, is it of that 153, 32,164, what required a 24-hour report?
Correct. Based on when the dissemination date or when we suspect the dissemination date occurred.
You suspect that. What evidence do we have of the actual dissemination dates? Any?
No. We're just basing it on invoice date, the invoice date, which is all we received from the committee.
And is the inference drawn that they were within the 24-hour reporting period?
Correct.
Because the invoice date falls within that period?
Correct.
That's how you make that inference?
For the radio ads, there was information about when the ads were aired, so we could calculate some of that.
I see. So the 32 is fairly precise.
Correct.
And it's a subset of the 153.9.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, can I just take a minute, please?
Sure, of course. We'll be back in session in a minute. Go ahead.
On page 14 of the draft final audit report, at the bottom, you provide some analysis for five direct mail communications. Let me ask you, do you have handy what the actual text of those five direct mail communications was? So the text here says that five direct mail communications contain language that encouraged the reader to vote for Republicans and help repeal Obamacare, with various reasons why Obamacare was bad for Colorado and or America's economy. Did those five mailers, were they identical, or were they five?
No, they were not identical.
Do you have the text? Do you happen to have the text?
I don't have it with me.
I'm sorry, I didn't alert you earlier. I focused on this late last night, and it caught my eye.
I don't have it with me right now. We can provide it.
Do you recall whether your analysis was that those five direct mail communications contained express advocacy because they urged the reader to vote Republican, or because they said repeal Obamacare? In other words, are you reading that as express advocacy with respect to a Republican congressional race or the presidential race, or both?
I would think...
I actually have texts of the five communications that you're referring to.
Could you pass them around?
Yes.
Thank you. And do you know whether the legal analysis is that they were express advocacy because they urged someone to vote for Republicans, or was it deemed express advocacy because of a reference to President Obama?
It was a combination of those two.
So you believe it would have been express advocacy, calling for repeal of Obamacare would have been express advocacy, urging voters to vote against Barack Obama? Is that the analysis on that part of the...
That would be the effective interpretation, yes.
Okay. And what was the... Can you just read to me what the language for voting Republican was? Like, did it say just, this November vote Republican? Or did it say, this November vote for your Republican incumbent congressman?
No, not the latter.
It said vote Republican.
Vote Republican.
Was there a memo to file on this issue?
A legal analysis was presented in the comments on the interim audit report.
Okay. I don't have that. What was the date of that, Joshua?
It actually, through inadvertence, it did not have a date published on it.
Oh, no,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
What I'm going to suggest is that we move this to the next public meeting. And I would, it would be my request of the auditors to make one last run at council, expressing some urgency to let them know that the commission was expecting some follow-up from him, and that perhaps if there is to be no follow-up, we would appreciate an affirmative email or message that there is to be no more follow-up.
Okay.
Tell him I'd like to know, is he going to... We entertained him here. We granted him a hearing. We had a long colloquy with him. And I'm not demanding certain documents of him, but he did indicate that he might have further material to provide, and we even suggested, for example, on the volunteer exemption, the types of evidence that would satisfy at least some commissioners. I just like to know affirmatively, is he going to make any further submissions or not? And I, if you would just tell him that if he could make a representation one way or the other, that would be quite helpful. And then, Mr. Chairman, if I could have the indulgence of the commission for 2 more weeks, I would like to take a look at this memorandum and the direct, at least the 5 direct mail pieces, to draw a better conclusion about this. I'm not so concerned about, in the scheme of this audit, the effect of five direct mail pieces. It's a very small whisker on the tail of this dog. But I am concerned about the legal conclusion and the broader implications for that.
Of course, I understand. Yes, that's quite fine with me. And thank you very much for your good presentation. It's always really right on. And thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll be back next session. Take care. At this time, there's no further matters to come before us based on the agenda. And Mr. Staff Director, are there any management or other matters entitled to consideration?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Okay, if you're not, the meeting is adjourned.